This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig Hoffman.
I feel pretty good, actually, right now. I think I had like a little like gummy bear thing before the... Not again.
Not the gummies.
There you go again. Making faces.
The Hoffman Show.
That's why I was like trying to describe it in a way. No, like a piece of candy. So I think I'm on a sugar high right now.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar high.
It's the Hoffman Show. Watermelon on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Coming up at 6:30, we take our one departure from the Commanders game and the NFL to the NBA, where we will talk to Dave Johnson ahead of Hawks and Wizards tonight. Although I do believe tonight, Anthony, that game's over on 99.1 as we have some Terps here on the Team 980 starting at 8.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, BetMGM tonight to fill in between until 7:30 when the pregame for Maryland begins. So a busy night of action across the DMV, although the Hawks are actually hosting the Wiz in Atlanta, but we'll catch up with Dave in just a little bit. Right now, though, it is time for our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so the day before games, typically we do it right now on a Friday, we pick six players who we think will have the biggest impact in the game, help shape the outcome. We revisit them on Monday. Well, the day after the game, I should say. Well, today's the day after the game, and thus we revisit our six from yesterday, starting with...
Number one.
And that would be Deron Payne. Anthony, you chose Deron Payne, who... I thought watching the game live had a pretty good day. It felt like he was in the backfield plenty. He, you know, made some splash plays, got some pressures. I'm very curious to see how I feel about that after I watch the tape, because he has one of the worst PFF grades I've ever seen.
Oh, man. What is
he's got a 39. He was also their best starting lineman. They graded out that defensive line so poorly in this game. Payne had a 39, Armstrong a 37, Fowler a 33, Mathis 30, Newton 28.
Wow.
By the way, Percy Butler had a 27.
Oh my gosh.
So not ideal. For Payne, I mean, they credit him with two pressures. It felt like he had more than that. Guess not.
I know
he had some TFLs or plays at the line of scrimmage. But here's the thing, you know, I feel like some of those felt like he was pretty quick, but also then you look up and it was second and six. And so I think part of it is like that offensive line for Philadelphia is so good. They just move people at such an outrageous rate that's part of kind of what happened is that they just would get moved and moved and moved. And although they got some pressure, some stuffs, I don't know. I got to go back. I feel like I got to go back and watch the tape because it felt like he had a better game than a 39 PFF grade.
Yeah, I think – I don't know, man. I think going back to the beginning of this year in terms of, like, everybody's wanting this guy to be consistent, we just haven't seen it. I do remember him getting a TFL on Saquon yesterday at the end of the third. But outside of that, like, it was – more so like gang tack. The other two tackles he had were gang tackles. But in the passing, I didn't see him, man. I didn't notice him at all. And I think a guy that we're paying, you know, all this money for is...
He's definitely not playing up to his salary this season.
It's
like,
sad,
I hate to do that to Deron because it's not... like when we talk about this, and luckily we haven't had to have this conversation in a while, but it's not about the dollars. I don't begrudge people their money. It's just like when you pay a guy a lot of money, you're counting on a certain level of production because he's taking up a certain percent of your salary cap. Like his production should be the percent essentially of what he is of the salary cap, and you are not getting that out of Daron Payne this year by any stretch of the imagination. That's not to say he's playing bad football necessarily, but and this one clearly he was even worse than I remember, which is something that'll bear out on the tape. He also missed a couple tackles, and I also wonder like what these grades look like through 3.5 quarters, mm-hmm. right? Like it is important to remember this team carried a lead into the fourth quarter, and then they gave up 20 in the fourth quarter. And some of those were on cutbacks and stuff from Saquon right up the gut. How much of the grade gets dragged down by big explosive plays late? What would this have looked like earlier? Either way, they didn't get the job done. Like, this has been a thing consistently with this defense. Like, they've gotten tired at the end of games. And being good for, you know, 50 minutes isn't enough. You need to be good for 60. It's a 60-minute game. And I think Philly kind of counts on that, the way they lean on you. And Washington just wasn't up to the task on the short week, and they've been playing a ton of games. They haven't had their bye, and they were tired by the end, and it showed. It's not because they're not conditioned. It's because they had a really tough task, and the schedule is not kind. I'll put it that way.
Number two
was Brian Robinson. I thought B-Rob had a very nice day coming back, and he was a big part of the limited amounts of success that this offense had. He grades out PFF style at a 65. I would like to see him get a little bit more involved in the pass game at some point, but obviously that's kind of Eckler's jam, is what it is. But that pony package, the two back package that they're using, it felt like they should have just done that the whole day. Like, that felt like the only success they had offensively was when those two guys were on the field, which is interesting because going into that game, I would have thought getting Jordan Davis off the field and playing in more 11 personnel and some lighter boxes would have been the better play. It wasn't. It didn't play out that way, and it felt like the Commanders' offense was fairly inept when it was only one back on the field. So that is something during this mini bye to get a self-scout and figure out where all the easy looks went has to go, but you could definitely see the difference in the run game. And I think the other big thing for me with B-Rob is some of the hidden yardage. How often does that dude fall forward and just get you an extra 1-2 yards? And you go from instead of 2nd and 8 to 2nd and 6. And you saw that last night from Robinson. And that is something that can help this offense in a major way moving forward.
Yeah, I think after our scoring drive where he, you know, had the 1 yard rush, I think Philly also just did a good job of keying in on Robinson and not letting him get off. I think he had 14 carries for 44 yards after that. So, I don't know. I think our offensive line got pushed around a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, they 100% got pushed around yesterday. And, you know, if they could get some better looks for B-Rob to run into, he'd probably be more effective. That is the nature of things. All right, number three in our pick six.
Number three.
Benjamin St. Juice, who had a very interesting night, not for the reasons that we necessarily thought. He was apparently battling some cramping issues mm-hmm. throughout the night, and Michael Davis all of a sudden was playing, which is probably something that we should click on next week, and I'm sure something that will be clicked on by the beat, is, hey, so Michael Davis over Emmanuel Forbes, huh? We know it went really bad for Forbes last year in this matchup. Dude wasn't on the field. He was active, wasn't on the field. Davis has been playing special teams since he had the bomb scare week one playing corner. And he was back out there and he did a good enough job. But Juice was also good last night. PFF's got him credited as giving up one 10-yard catch. Overall good, physical in the run game. Makes five tackles. Like, I trust him on the edge as much as I do any of the other corners. Like, Sanders still is really good out there as well, obviously. But Juice played the kind of game last night that's like, man, if you can put Marshawn Lattimore opposite him and get Sanders still back inside and Noah Igbinoghene off the field, like, that to me is the thing that I would want moving forward. Maybe if Davis, you figured something out with him, if you want to rotate him and Juice, that's fine. I think Sanders still is probably earning his way onto the field. He made some great plays on the ball last night, but Juice had one of those nights where he wasn't targeted, which is the best thing for him. I realize it's not exactly a compliment for a corner, but like, he can shut a lot of stuff down. I'm surprised they didn't challenge him more. And with that, we'll see what happens, because hopefully in 10 days, Marshawn Lattimore's out there and we'll have the answers to all these corner questions.
Yeah, I think St. Juice had a good game. I think also to like the point you were making yesterday about where St. Jude's best is aligned on the field when they're in a cover two. They play a decent amount of cover two in that first half, and I think it gave Hurts some problems. But outside of that, yeah, he did a good job tackling.
I mean, the passing game never really got going for Philly. That's the thing. It's like they then scored on the ground. Like Jalen Hurts in this game grades out 74, but that's because he had a 78.9 like run game, or run grade. From a passing standpoint, like 18 for 28, 221, and like
and 43 came from the Saquon like drop
right.
off.
Like, most of that was yards after catch, and then the one big play to and
AJ?
Like yards after catch because the Commanders goofed stuff up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, oh, he hit a dude in stride. And then the one big play to Goddard where he fumbled and Calcaterra picked it up. So you got one like big second
big
reaction
plays.
Play. But like the pass game never really got going last night for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So all the corners actually graded out really well. And I assume that will show on tape is that that's a group that can be proud of their performance. Unfortunately, they didn't get a lot of support in the run game and obviously the offense as we've talked about. We'll continue to talk more about the players that we identified. Andrew Wiley. Ooh, yucks. Saquon Barkley, good pick. Cooper DeJean, interesting discussion that we should have about the Eagles secondary. So we'll get to all those three next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And in 10 minutes, we will talk with Dave Johnson live from Atlanta, where the Wizards will take on the Hawks tonight. We continue now with our pick six at six, taking a look at some of the players that we thought would help shape the Commanders' performance against the Eagles, either whether they were Commanders or whether they were Eagles. And number four on our list.
Number four.
Is Andrew Wiley. Wiley had an interesting game, I guess. Like, definitely better that he was back, but definitely was not some kind of masterclass. And that's, I think, to be expected in the, Andrew Wiley, one, as a player and what you expect from him. And two, I think against this Eagles defensive line, that's really, really, really good. And I think the other part that's really hard is the variety of rushes and rushers and types of rushers that the Eagles throw at you. I mean, you could be stuck on Brandon Graham one snap, one of the great power rushers who's twitched up and everything, but like at this stage is just a bull. And then Nolan Smith next time, who's super lanky and runs a 4-3. Like, that's not very fun to have to balance those two different types of rushers. And I think overall, like, Wiley did a good enough job that I don't think he was the main culprit of their issues. He graded out at a 55. His pass block grade was a 59. But the thing is, like, his run grade was a 48, and they just could not get that run game going. And I definitely think he was a part of that. You know, again, I give more credit to the Eagles on that than I do anything adjacent to the Commanders. But if we're evaluating the Commanders, like, clearly they needed to do a better job.
Yeah, definitely in the run game, there were a lot of fits. And I credit Jalen Carter. He was just quicker than everybody, stronger than everybody. You mentioned that we had three cracks at converting, you know, a second and one. And Jalen Carter, every time, blew it up because either Wiley was too slow as Cosme was pulling, or, you know, he didn't want to necessarily get a holding penalty. It was just, we got to be quicker. And, you know, they just beat us to the punch every single time.
They sure did. Wiley, definitely a part of that. Again, I think Coleman probably has a worse day. Allegretti did not have a good day. That left side was a mess last night, and we'll talk about that more next week when we get a chance to look at the All-22 and study it a lot more.
Number five.
Number five. It's Saquon Barkley. I mean, what are we going to say?
I mean, to be honest, we did a solid job on Saquon
right up
rushing
until the moment
wise
that they didn't?
Yeah. I mean, the fourth quarter, once the fourth quarter hit, it was Kurtz. Because up until the third quarter, he had 20 rushes, 69 yards. He had a couple of catches where he was actually killing us in the ground. I mean, he had the one big catch. That's what I'll say. He had
well,
the
one
big
catch.
Well, that's
the thing, right? They did a pretty good job of containing him, keeping eyes on him.
Yeah.
And even on that play, like, that's the play where the game completely shifted. And this Eagles offense has kind of been like that this year, is they wait for Saquon to make a play. And it's why I think Saquon should legitimately be in the MVP conversation. Because without him, without his ability to break the big one, they're screwed.
Yep.
Maybe not screwed. Maybe that's a little strong because they still have AJ and Devontae. And, you know, Jalen does some stuff every once in a while. But, like, they rely on him to bust things open. And often that is just individual brilliance. And on that play, like, Percy Butler comes down, misses the tackle because Saquon's slippery. And voila, off he goes, sayonara. And then from there, like, it just felt like chunk after chunk. And that was, I believe, a third down. And I believe the contact happened. I think it was a third and eight, and the contact happened at 6.5 yards. If Percy sticks him, or it's another back, and Percy sticks him, and is dead DOA, like, they might tush-push and still get it, but it's not, oh my God, they're in the red zone, and it feels like we just let go of the rope. So I think Saquon's brilliance was quite on display. There's a reason they just keep giving it to him, because eventually that's the right call, and his inevitableness is it's quite annoying to play, Anthony, is what it is.
Very annoying. Finished the day, what was it, 198 scrimmage yards on the ground? That, I mean, not on the ground, just scrimmage yards in general. That is insane. Almost 200.
It's a lot of yards.
Almost half their yards.
Rushing leader, although that will change when Derrick Henry.
It might not. The Steelers might have something to say, Craig.
He has got eight. He's 17 yards short.
Oh, never mind. All right.
Yeah, I was like, when let me finish the sentence. It would have been when Derrick Henry gets his 18th yard on Sunday. Yeah, yeah, maybe he gets 50, but, you know, he also might get 150 because he's Derrick freaking Henry.
Yeah.
All right, last but not least.
Number six.
Cooper DeJean was our number six, and my question was, how effective would he be specifically as a run defender? Because I thought they would play a lot more 11 personnel and then try to, like, make him as a box defender type of guy. And truth be told, like, on that front, he wasn't very good last night. His tackle grade from PFF was a 28.6. His run defense grade was a 60.5. In fact, actually, he's the second lowest rated defender that they had last night, is a 53.5. Now, that's still not a horrible day at the office. Like, that's a mediocre to below average day. Again, the Commanders had a bunch of dudes who graded out in the 20s and 30s. That's how you have a real bad day at the office. And I do think there were times that, like, Ertz is able to get, you know, in his kind of zone and shake loose and all that kind of stuff. You know, they credited him as being targeted 9 times and giving up 8 receptions. So that's obviously not ideal. But on those 8 receptions, it's only 53 yards. So he, for the most part, did a good job of keeping everything in front of him. No big bust. And then, obviously, you know, there was nothing killer in the run game that really stands out either. So, you know, DeJean, I think he also made some plays where, like, you see the physicality, you see why they like that kid. And overall, that Eagles defense was just awesome. Not, can't say enough good things. And I haven't even had a chance to watch the tape yet. And I know how good that tape is going to be.
Yeah, I think we might have to call Zach Ertz no Yak Ertz, because he does not get any yards after catching the ball, like, every single time he caught the ball.
But he's so good at getting open. And
yeah,
that's
he
the
is.
Thing, is. Like, people are like, oh, you know, Ben Sinnott showed in one catch why he's more valuable than Zach Ertz. Get him the ball. It's like, you got to be able to catch the ball before you can run after it.
Yep.
Catch is more important than yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's frustrating, but if you don't have the catch, that's also 0 yards after. It would be nice if he could get open, but, like, also you got to think of how a lot of his catches come. They're not on, like, these slants where they're trying to get him in space or, like, big open plays downfield. Like, he's getting in tight spaces, finding the area that the window's that big, and it's got to be right now, and he's been relatively, outside of the one slant route last week that he dropped, relatively sure-handed. And so his ability to find space and then just catch the ball and get down, like, that's super valuable. He's not a Yak guy. That's not his deal. He's not going to be a Yak guy. But there you go. There's our pick six. here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, Dave Johnson joins us talking a little Wizards Hawks before we wrap things up on a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.